Are you tired of hearing politically correct propaganda from the government, the media, the schools, and the churches, when in your heart you know it's not true? Does your pastor entertain you with irrelevant pablum while you yearn for strong spiritual meat? Does the shallowness of the masses turn you off? Then perhaps you are being called to a higher level of understanding. Learn the amazing truths that have been hidden from our people. For a free packet of information giving you the key to who you are, where you're from, why you're here, and where you're going, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, P.O. Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. That's Kingdom Identity Ministries, P.O. Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602.
Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com.
You don't have all the energy necessary to do the things important to you? What's the answer to low energy without drugs? Enerfood Super Green Energy Drink from EnerHealth Botanicals. This nutritious green superfood provides instant energy as well as immune system support using 20 organic or wildcrafted ingredients. It blends easily in juice or fruit smoothies for increased endurance and greater mental clarity. You can combine that with EnerHealth Coconut Milk Powder, the perfect alternative to dairy creamers available in a value-priced combo. Visit EnerHealth Botanicals today for over 50 products designed for living healthy, including NutriCal.
Read the remarks by General Ricardo Sanchez, the three-star general who commanded the Baghdad sector and American military operations in Iraq for almost 3 years. General Sanchez, if you've read those remarks, will tell you the military was not allowed to win the war in Iraq. Now, you go back to Vietnam, our boys fought bravely, and certainly they thought they were there to win the war. They didn't understand. It was all make-believe. Oh, a lot of people died, but the people who were in charge never intended to win the war. And there's a wonderful book called The Cheers and Tears, written by a Marine general, talking about when the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff went to see Lyndon Johnson in 1965 to tell him what needed to be done to end the war, and specifically to attack North Vietnam. And Lyndon Johnson listened and then began screaming and yelling at the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And if those men had had the courage, they should have just all resigned en masse and said, we're not going to be allowed to win the war. We're not going to fight it for you. We're not going to risk American boys' lives in a war you don't intend to win. But none of them had that courage. Fascinating book, though, talks about that meeting with President Johnson, and President Johnson didn't intend to win the war or to let our military win the war. And yet, of course, an awful lot of boys fought and bled and suffered and died in Vietnam. And the mightiest nation in the world rotated, some people have said, as many as 10 million men in and out of Vietnam over an almost 10-year period. We lost the war. We didn't lose the war because our men didn't do what was right. We lost the war because we never went into the war to win it. And when you understand that, you're going to understand what's going on in the Middle East today. Colonel Marvin, you were there. Certainly our boys did a great job, didn't they?
Amen, amen. The men on the ground did a good job. The men in charge were a bunch of cowards that worked only under political pressure. And you know what you said, I've just been listening to you and what you're telling your radio audience. And if most of the people that are listening to you, if they're at least 30 years old, they watched the movie Apocalypse Now. And if they only realized that movie was based on the truth, although they've never said that. But I knew a Green Beret sergeant who was with the Green Beret team, headed up by this officer that went down into the Cao Mau Peninsula of Vietnam. He worked with a leader, a Catholic priest, who was the leader of the Catholic men and women in that area. His name was Father Wah. They trained the civilian irregular defense group. They actually cleared the Cao Mau Peninsula of all the enemy. We actually won that war in that small area, the same as I did in An Phu with the Vietnamese, the Buddhist War House.
And that was the last thing that they really wanted to happen. We'll
That's
be back
right.
here in just a moment with Colonel Daniel Marvin. Special Forces, he was there, he saw it, and of course he was almost killed because of how well he was doing. We'll be right back.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier for only $279. Call New Millennium 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Spyville.com is your choice for everything spy-related. Stealth cameras, cleverly disguised as items commonly found around the home. Night vision cameras, covert phone and voice recorders, powerful binoculars, security systems, and more. Find hidden cameras wherever you go with a small handheld spy finder. And locate hidden transmitters with one of our bug detectors. Spyville.com also carries a wide variety of night vision scopes, allowing you to see in the darkest conditions. Protect your home and business with our complete line of security cameras made to fit any situation. We also carry a large selection of personal security devices. Keep your personal belongings secure using our hidden safes made out of everyday household items, including an outlet safe and even an underwear safe. Go online and check out our huge selection of spy-related gear. Christmas is coming, so don't delay. Go to spyville.com. That is S-P-Y-V-I-L-L-E.com. Or call us today at 866-779-8455. That's 866-779-8455. Spyville.com, where your personal security and well-being is our goal. It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is Colonel Daniel Marvin. And, of course, he was very, very successful in his region, but what most people don't understand is that the CIA was over there, really, in many respects, running that war, just as the CIA is over there in Iraq, and running the war and doing a lot of the questioning. A lot of the things that went on in Abu Ghraib prison were CIA, created problems. They were actually, of course, why was the CIA over there interrogating prisoners? I thought this was a military action. No, it was a CIA war. And the same thing happened over in Vietnam, where the CIA was running the Phoenix program and murdering and torturing the Vietnamese. You never heard about Phoenix. Most people never have, but it certainly is a tragedy. The Vietnamese heard of it. They knew how we were actually kidnapping and killing Vietnamese civilians, which you're not supposed to do. But then who are you going to report it to when it's done by the American CIA that is answerable to no one? Well, Colonel, certainly, didn't the CIA actually try to have you killed because you would not go along with their plan to assassinate Prince Sihanouk?
Yes, if I may, I'd like to get back to Apocalypse Now, too, which would lead right into it. They were so successful that all of a sudden the CIA ordered that team out of the Comal Peninsula the commanding officer refused to leave because he knew he would be betraying the people who was there to train and use against the enemy, same as I refused to leave from An Phu because I would have betrayed the Vietnamese that I was with. His men left, which is totally different. All my men stayed with me, but his men left, reported back to their B team, which is their next higher headquarters, and then the CIA sent two more Green Berets in there and killed that A team commander. Now, they tried to do the same thing to me. They ordered all me and all my men out. I refused to go. My men all decided to stay with me. They ordered us to come down the Basak River to the B team. I knew that we'd be ambushed on the way down there. So we stayed. And it was a Vietnamese lieutenant general then that rescued us after the CIA sent an entire regiment of Arvin forces to wipe out our camp. And we proved that, as you know, Dr. Stan, in federal court in January of 2006, where we proved that my book, Expendable Elite, which included all that information about our government sending a regiment to kill me and my men and all of the Vietnamese that were with us.
Well, Colonel, that must have been terribly disillusioning to realize, of course, that you're fighting for our government. You're fighting for freedom, at least you think. You're fighting to preserve the right of the Vietnamese people to live free. And here your government, your own government, is going planning and conspiring to kill you.
It was terrible. And here General Westmoreland, who's treated as a hero and he should be despised as a coward, in his own book, A Soldier Reports, that's the name of the book, A Soldier Reports. Any of you listeners can go to your library, because I'm sure they all have the book that their hero wrote. He admits in that book, in his own words, that he was ordered not to tell Congress, he was ordered not to tell the press, that our government was aiding the enemy, was allowing them not only to have secret bases all along the border where they could shoot our people on this side of the border and our people could not shoot back except in my one area, and that they were allowed by our government and nobody else but our government the use of the Mekong River as their main supply route to take weapons and ammunition into Cambodia, into the secret bases, to be used to kill our men. Now, we lost 58,000 men. The Vietnamese lost almost 2 million men, while General Westmoreland played tennis every day in Saigon, knowing, and he admits it in his book, knowing that our government was aiding the enemy the entire time.
And, of course, the similarities between what's happening in Afghanistan, where our government is financing the Pakistani government, that's financing their military, that's financing the military intelligence, ISI, that's financing the Taliban, that's killing American boys. It's Vietnam all over again.
It's even worse, because we don't even know who the enemy is over there in Iraq. And I talked to General Tommy Franks himself while he was still commanding that entire area of operations. He had to leave the phone, and he turned me over to his deputy, or his aide, a lieutenant colonel. And I asked that lieutenant colonel, and I think I've sent you the information on it to include the name of that lieutenant colonel. And I asked him, what were the two things that bothered the general most about going into Iraq? And he said number one was he only got half the troops that he asked for. And number two, he said he thought in his own mind the thing that bothered him all the most of anything was the fact that not a one of the military advisor or the people that were advising Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld had ever been in combat. Now, what the heck kind of a government have we got that would only give the general half the men? And by the way, he, like General Westmoreland, once he retired, then he wrote a book, but in that book, different than General Westmoreland, he contradicted completely everything he and his advisor told me. And I think because he got this big assignment, a high-paid assignment, to start the new Army Museum. And I hate to think our officers are like that, but, you know, just a few months ago, Dr. Stan, I met with a Lieutenant Colonel Kurt Wheeler from the United States Marine Corps, who had just returned from Iraq. And I asked him, point blank, at a table having coffee together in a local coffee shop, I asked him, Kurt, when you came up against the enemy and they disappeared into a mosque and started firing at you from that mosque, could you fire back? And he said, no. So we are still aiding the enemy.
And giving him sanctuary, right, just exactly as we did in Vietnam.
That's right. In fact, General Schwarzkopf, I had spoke to him one time, and he told me that the thing that bothered him the most in that war that he was in charge of, in going into Kuwait, was that the enemy was given, the way his words were, the enemy was given sanctuary there the same as they were in Vietnam.
Sure. And the American people today really don't understand what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan because they don't understand Vietnam. And the fact that the same spiritual forces are guiding our government,
right,
and the CIA is running in many respects behind the scenes both wars. But we can't let the American people know that. We can't let them understand we did not go into Vietnam to win, and we did not go into Afghanistan or certainly into Iraq to win those wars. We've been fighting in Iraq for six and a half years. That's longer than we actually fought, you know, in the Second World War.
That's right. That's right. And we were against an enemy that totally outnumbered us, totally outgunned us and everything else, and we won because God was behind us in the Second World War. I believe that with all my heart, Dr. Stan. You know, I've gone to the trouble, and I believe I've copied you on some of this. I've tried to get the attention of the commanding general of the Army War College, the commanding general of the commanding general staff college, the commandant of West Point, and the commanding general of the U.S. Army Special Operations Command, and I led them all the way down through with corroboration from general officers how we aided the enemy in Vietnam. Once Kennedy was killed, all of a sudden we became the friends of the enemy, our government did, all the way through until this very day. Not a one of those generals is taking any action to inform officers that are being trained to go out there and lead these troops that watch out for our government putting you in a position where you cannot win the battle. And that's exactly what's happening, Dr. Stan. And unfortunately, we don't seem to be doing enough about it or anything about it at the higher levels, and we just need a lot more prayer.
You know, we need some courageous men who are willing to do what's right and willing to resign their commissions.
Amen.
And come forward and say, this is what needs to be done. And at least we've had a few of the generals, you know, who have come forward and spoken out in this war, much more so than in Vietnam.
But if you're out there in the listening audience, during the war.
Right.
You know, and when I came back from Vietnam and I went to Thailand and I found out the day that I got there, and I wondered why they wouldn't tell me why I was going to Thailand, because I always asked to go to a place where there was danger or where there's something serious bad going on. The day I got there, I found out that they were gun running, taking and shipping U.S. military weapons that had been captured by the enemy in Vietnam and then recaptured by our troops, so they were off the books, and shipping them to Thailand, and through a captain that was assigned to that unit there in Thailand, the 46th Special Forces, was shipping them to his home in Detroit, Michigan, a total of over 150 weapons that were used in the schematic that they had, the conspiracy to infiltrate the black militant movements and to actually watch the movements of Dr. King and to kill Dr. Martin Luther King. It was our men, the Green Berets, were involved in it. It's no different than the assassination of President Kennedy, which you know I've reported on and have been on national television on that. It's just a shame that we concern ourselves more in this nation with illegal politics than with God proven rights and wrongs.
Amen. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Colonel Daniel Marvin. We'll invite your calls, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, right here at Genesis.
Ted Anderson for Midas, December 11, 2007, gold 804.70 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $828.95, $408.55 for half, $204.28 for quarter. That's $828.95, $408.55, and $204.28. The Chinese government has begun a campaign of economic threats against the U.S., hinting liquidation of its vast holdings of U.S. treasuries, responding to Washington's trade sanctions, forcing the Yuan Revolution. Communist Party bodies are warning that Beijing may use its 1.33 trillion reserves as a political weapon, causing bond yields to spike, hammering the U.S. housing market and throwing the economy into a recession. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their holdings due to this threat. Economist Ambrose Evans Pritchard published the report, China Threatens Nuclear Option of Dollar Sales. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Do you need an easier way to stay in touch? A two-way radio may be for you. Two-way radios provide short-range communication with no recurring service charges. Perfect for outdoor activities like camping, hunting, and skiing. Great for amusement parks, cruises, or just keeping up with the kids around the neighborhood. Two-way radios can also make your business more efficient. Cut costs while increasing productivity in doctor and dental offices, restaurants, retail, warehouses, construction, and more. TWRadios.com is the Internet's leading two-way radio provider. With same-day shipping on top name brands including Motorola, Kenwood, Midland, Garmin, and Cobra, rest assured you'll be getting the most durable and reliable radios available. Visit us today at twradios.com. That's TWRADIOS.com. Or call us toll free at 800-584-1445 and let us help you choose the best radio for your needs. That's 800-584-1445 or online at twradios.com. Keeping in contact has never been easier or more affordable.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Colonel Daniel Marvin. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, and I gave the wrong number there, it's 800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment on this subject, but we're talking about Vietnam. We're talking about the tragedy of Vietnam, the fact that our men fought bravely, but they were never allowed to win the war. And I can personally tell you that I talked to both William H. Sullivan, the American ambassador to Laos at the time, who actually went to Paris with Kissinger to negotiate the surrender, as it were, on our part. And then I talked to General Lewis Walt, a four-star Marine general. Both of them told me we could have won the war at any time in 2 months. All we had to do was attack North Vietnam. We were never allowed to attack North Vietnam. They had all sorts of excuses why we couldn't do anything logical. But, of course, the truth of the matter was we didn't want to win the war. Had won the war, why we'd have brought our troops home. It would have ended this whole charade. It saved an awful lot of American lives, but that was not the agenda. And so our boys fought and fought and fought, and militarily we were doing fine. Militarily we could have won the war at any time. We were not allowed to. Right now, if you go over to the Middle East, who's financing Al-Qaeda? Why, it's Saudi Arabia. They're financing the Islamic terrorist movement throughout the world. They're financing it right here in the United States, in our prisons, in the Islamic schools. They're indoctrinating young people in this radical form of Islam and killing the Christians. And what is our government doing about it? Absolutely nothing. Until you understand that, our government and the Bush family works very, very closely with the Saudis, and the Saudis are financing the Al-Qaeda fighters in Iraq who are killing American boys. In fact, the majority of the Al-Qaeda fighters in Iraq today are coming from Saudi Arabia. But they claim that one of these days they're going to get around to doing something about it. When are the American people going to wake up and realize that nothing as it appears to be? Well, our telephone number is 800-259-5791. A guest is Colonel Daniel Marvin, who fought there in Vietnam, and of course, because he tried to tell the truth in his book, The Expendable Elite, a very important book which we carry. Why, of course, he was actually sued for libel by some of his own men, who were threatened, basically threatened and forced to sign statements that were frankly untrue. Colonel, have you ever been able to get in touch with any of those men who you were so close to at one time?
I have tried to, Dr. Stan, but there's no response at all. Three of the six are dead already. It's just a darn shame. I know that for a fact that they were all coerced and intimidated. In fact, Major John Strait, who was my executive officer, the last time I tried to reach him, and this was, of course, before he passed away, before the trial, his wife answered the phone, her name is Shirley, and just said, "Dan, I can't let you talk to John." And John and I had been pretty close. "Because if we do, we'll lose our retirement pay." Now, that's what they were telling the men's wives. And how could I convince her that they were lying? I even got a signature of a major general to prove that they could not take away their retirement pay, but the threat to them, to those men, from special forces and the special operations people, which is, of course, backed by the CIA, was too much. And they showed up at the trial, I think. One of them was drunk the whole time, and he was the one that was closest to me, Master Sergeant Ray Johnson, and I have not been able to get a hold of him at all.
But, you mean, it's a little strange that three of them are dead after all, I know they're getting on in years, but this is just a matter of a couple of years, and three of the six are dead?
Yeah, and they're all younger than me.
Right.
But I wouldn't be surprised that all six of them are dead. I really wouldn't. I haven't been able to get a verbal or a written response from any of them, and I've tried. And there's a lady friend of mine now who is working actually as my agent to try and get a movie made from the book now that it's gone to trial and we've been victorious, and she wanted to talk to them to get their input for the movie, and she's not been able to reach them. So I don't know what's going on. But, like I told the jury, just point blank. Well, we can get into this after the break.
All right, fine. Our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791.
5791. Do you see the similarity between Vietnam and what's going on? This is why this subject is so important. And this is why it's not discussed today. We'll be back in just a moment with Colonel Marvin.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
You wear a seatbelt in your car. At home, you lock the doors. How about when you use your cell phone? How do you protect yourself? EMFs, or electromagnetic frequencies, act like an invisible pollution that surrounds us every day. Studies link EMFs to many ailments, from stress to depression, anxiety, decreased mental performance, lower immune system function, and other impaired states of health. More than ever, we are fatigued, sick, emotionally depleted, and generally stressed out. Have you ever thought about the impact on your health from exposure to EMFs using your cell phone? Studies show that 30 minutes a day on a cell phone over the span of 1 year is equivalent to sticking your head in a microwave for 30 minutes. Installing the BioPro cell phone chip utilizes patented noise field technology to block harmful EMF pollution. Still not convinced? Go to electropollution.org right now to purchase the extremely affordable BioPro cell chip. It attaches easily to the outside of your phone. Educate and protect yourself at electropollution.org.
Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Colonel Daniel Marvin. And Colonel, would you like to go ahead and get your website out there?
My website is expendableelite.com. That's one word, expendableelite.com. And in there they can read not only about the book and about a lot of different other things that I've been involved in covert operations, but they can read the actual documents and testimony that we gave to the jury that proved that my book was right. And interestingly enough, the audio tapes from the plaintiffs themselves that they'd given me in 1988 to prove that the book was right when I'd sent them the manuscript, we use those in court, and you can actually listen. Your listeners, Dr. Stan, can pull up that website and actually listen to the audio tapes of Lieutenant Strait, who's now dead, Raymond Johnson, who I'm hoping is not, and Specialist Royce, and they can see all the evidence that we presented. In fact, when I spoke to the jury, I asked them, I said, please don't do anything that could hurt these men. These men were the bravest, most wonderful men in Vietnam not only to win the war in our area, but to take care of 64,000 Buddhist wahaos that we were responsible for. They were the very best, but they had been intimidated by our own government into going against me. You know, and another thing that's important too, Dr. Stan, is that, well, not just against me, against my publisher, because they wanted no more of this truth to be published about covert operations. The Special Forces Association, which is a group of about 10,000 Green Berets, in their quarterly publication called this book, my book, 100% Lies. And in that same magazine, they reported to the world, and that goes throughout the world, to all Green Berets or whoever else belongs to the association, they reported in there that they would completely finance the lawsuit against my publisher and myself. But when push came to shove, we found out after the trial was all over, January, February, and March, the 3 months following that trial, the Special Forces Association did not spend one penny of their money for the plaintiffs or for their attorneys, which would have amounted to somewhere around $300,000 to $400,000, and we just assume that it was the CIA that was pumping that money direct to the attorneys and to our men, but we can't get a man to confess to that fact.
Well, of course, the last thing the powers that be would want would for the American people to know the truth about the CIA and the occult forces that really control the CIA and
That's
how they...
Right.
You know, after the Second World War, how they helped all the Nazis escape to South America by the rat line. The occult organizations that are affiliated with the CIA, you know, we're supposed to have the idea that they're out there fighting for America. They're not fighting for America. They have an entirely different agenda. And it's about time we had a complete investigation, but nobody will ever be allowed to investigate them. And they tried. Why would probably they wouldn't last much longer than your men, three of them, the six,
That's
who
right.
sued against you were dead.
Well, look, telephone number... the JFK assassination, over 100 witnesses died under unusual circumstances to keep us from knowing the truth about that assassination, and I was one of them. As a CIA Green Beret assassin, I was asked to kill Lieutenant Commander Bruce Pitzer, and I think you have that book too.
Yes, we do.
Without Smoking Gun, which tells the truth about that whole situation. I'd hate to think how many people like me and how many people in the mafia were used and have been used over the years to kill people that our government just wanted to silence.
And unfortunately, this is the reality of what goes on. Our number, 1-800-259-5791. Our guest is Colonel Daniel Marvin. And, of course, his book, The Expendable Elite, we carry. We think it's an important book. We also carry Without Smoking Gun, which is the story of Lieutenant Commander Spitzer, who was actually, everything points to the fact that he was killed. He was assassinated because he had the pictures that were taken at the initial autopsy of JFK, not the one, the official one, but the first one, as they begin to doctor the wounds, because they can't let the American people realize that our own government, the CIA, the FBI, people at the highest levels of our government were involved in the murder of an American president, of John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
You know,
and you were actually
fact,
told, weren't you? You were actually overheard the CIA agents talking about how the CIA had done in Kennedy. What was that story about?
Well, I was just going to bring that up, being that you were talking about that. During our Special Forces training, I volunteered to be a Green Beret the day that Kennedy was killed, because he was 100% for the Green Berets. He personally authorized the wear of the Green Beret. Only to find out, when I volunteered and I went into training at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, at a place they call Smoke Bomb Hill, in a very special building, surrounded by concertina wire with two guard dogs, one that had their top secret training by the CIA, they taught us right there in that classroom, about 32 different officers and myself, well, I was included in that group, they taught us that there was four shooters involved. This is part of the training program. Now, four shooters involved in the Kennedy assassination. Two were American Mafia. One of them, by the way, turns out to be Jimmy Files, who they didn't mention any names at that time, who I correspond with regularly, and he's the one that actually shot Kennedy from the grassy knoll. But they told us there was one American Mafia on the grassy knoll. There was another American Mafia shooter on the rooftop next to the book depository. Now, there were also FBI agency agents and CIA agents on the same rooftop with that shooter. The other two shooters were from the Corsican Mafia, and they were very specific about that. Each one of them had a spotter with high-powered binoculars, and each one was on one of the two routes that led from where Kennedy was first hit to a hospital, so that once the hit was made, that they could determine halfway between where the hit was made at the in Dallas to the hospital, determine whether or not they thought that President Kennedy would live. If they felt he wouldn't, using those high-powered binoculars, they would have shot at him again en route to the hospital. We were told all these things by the CIA, and then I overheard one of them saying to the other during a coffee break, "Things went pretty well in Dallas, didn't they?" Just that simple statement, "Things went pretty well in Dallas, didn't they?" Now, this was just, let me see, November, 5 months after the assassination.
Well, I think that the average American really finds it so difficult to believe that this could be, have actually happened, but it had to involve the CIA and the FBI, and of course we've put together a couple of four tape sets on this, and one of them is, of course, with interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress, who tells about the party the night before, Madeleine Duncan Brown, that was attended by J. Edgar Hoover and people from the CIA and people from the Mafia and people from the the big oil man. Clint Murchison was in on this, and of course they were making the final plans. Richard Nixon was there. But you can't let the American people know, because then we would begin to suspect everything we're being told. So to this very day, much of the information associated with the assassination of President Kennedy is still classified top secret, because we can't let Osama bin Laden know what happened. Or maybe it's the American people, one or the other.
I think it's both. You know what's a shame is something you were referring to about Saudi Arabia. 17 of the men that perpetrated the 9/11 attack on those buildings in the Pentagon, 17 of them were from Saudi Arabia, and we have taken absolutely no action against Saudi Arabia. Instead, we attack Iraq, which none of them came from.
Right.
Now, you figure that one out.
Well, of course, they needed an excuse to go to war.
And, that's right.
That's what the 9/11 attack was really all about.
And, amen.
And it's about time the American people understood that. And there's no way the Building 7 could have come down.
That's right.
5:20 in the afternoon after not being hit by anything at all. And the base of that building just imploded. If those, all you have to do is go up on the Internet and Google in Building 7 video. And
right.
You'll actually see the building come down. First, the center of the building collapses, then the base of the building collapses. That was a orchestrated, planned demolition. And there's
and you
no
know,
question.
What's interesting enough, in 1964, I and all the rest of the Green Berets that went through training that time, and I assume since then, were taught exactly how to do that kind of demolition. With what there's different types of bombs involved in that. One is was the earmuff bomb, and then the other one was the dust initiator bomb. And I'm sure, in my mind and in my heart, that the federal building was blown up by people that had the same kind of training that I did. And no doubt in my mind, they were sent there by our government. And that's why there were no FBI personnel in that building in Omaha the day that it was blown up.
Oh, you mean Oklahoma City? You're talking
Oklahoma
about the
City,
Oklahoma
I'm sorry.
City bombing.
Thank you.
And, I mean, basically, you know, you get into the background of all of these issues, we've never been told the truth. I mean,
that's right.
Timothy McVeigh was not alone. To this very day, the FBI will not release the videos that were taken outside the Murrah building on the day that it was blown up. Why? Well, they say we can't release those because there's a continuing investigation.
Baloney.
So who are they investigating, and why? Why are they still investigating Oklahoma bombing? Well, very simply because they don't want to have to release those tapes. And no judge is going to challenge the FBI when they say they're still investigating. But why would they be investigating? They caught the two men who were responsible, or did they?
The continuing investigation allows them to hide the facts until they decide that it's okay, that it's time to either have destroyed them all or time to release them because they're of no consequence. And then, you know, that's some of the things we had in our own training, you know, at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as officers and special forces. And when I met with the mafia, the leader of the mafia in the Boston area, he told me point blank, after I asked him, was he asked to be in on the Kennedy hit? Because I knew the mafia was used. And he said, well, the company did call me, but I told them that we don't have no problems with the Kennedys in Massachusetts. And basically, they could call, they being the CIA, could call on mafia elements throughout the whole United States and use them for killing inside the United States, and they'd use people like myself and the Green Berets for silencing people outside the United States.
And anybody who doubts that, the book written by Chuck Giancano, the brother of Sam Giancano, called Double Cross. We used to carry it. We don't have it anymore, but you can get it up on the Internet. Double Cross will tell you just what Colonel Marvin has said. Well, we've got a gentleman calling from Florida. Who's calling from Florida?
It's Harvey, Dr.
Sam. Hi, Harvey. How are you doing? Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It seems like you're running out of time. I'll try to make it quick. I'd like to ask Colonel Marvin, how does he feel now about his involvement in Vietnam and the other activities that he took part in? Does he feel that he was being used?
All right, fine, Colonel.
Absolutely. I think if you had the opportunity to read my book, Expendable Elite, you can understand exactly not only how I felt, but what I did. And when I refused orders because I assumed that they were illegal orders because they ordered us to do things that I knew we should not be doing. I was not like General Westmoreland, who waited until I retired to put it into writing. I took the action right there on the scene with my men, and they stuck by me when we refused orders to leave that area, because we knew that we would be abandoning the South Vietnamese that we were there to support. And in Thailand, with the 46 Special Forces, when an investigator came to investigate the gun running that I had reported in, he told me this, and his name, by the way, the investigator's name and everything is in a complete report that the FBI was kind enough to give me, which included all of the testimony of all the people involved in that gun running. And he told me that he could not start that investigation until I was outside of Thailand, or we would all be killed.
Well, it seems like there's a handful of people that keep making money on this, and that every several years, I mean, incredible amounts of money, and every several years they have to use our innocent soldiers. And they have to use it as a test bed. They have to test the equipment. They have to test the soldiers. They have to break out their new weaponry. And they don't really care who they kill, do they?
That's right. You're right.
I think, Harvey, over and above that, you have to understand there are powerful spiritual forces behind this. And you get into the background of McNamara. He's been involved with the occult and all of these secret societies for a long period of time.
Kissinger, too,
certainly. So understand that, yes, everything you say is absolutely true, but there are also these powerful spiritual forces which nobody wants to talk about. But they basically have organizations, they have meetings, they have plans. You can go to their website. One of them is loosestrust.org, and they will tell you about their organizations and the new group of world servers, which, of course, is one of the fronts for the Lucius Trust. It used to be Lucifer, but Lucius Trust, and there you'll find many references to, you know, to McNamara, Robert McNamara, being deeply involved with this whole world occult movement. So remember, we see the superficial things, and everything you say is true, but behind that are the powerful spirits and forces, which nobody wants to talk about.
Well, that's why we have
one of the problems, too, to the caller and to you, Dr. Stan. There are so few people like Dr. Stan who have got the courage and the biblical background to come out in the open and tell the American people the truth. That as long until we get enough good, honest people that are willing to back the Lord to get to rid our government of evil, we will never do it.
And God bless,
there are very
God bless
few
you
people,
both.
You know, out of 10,000 Green Berets, were you a Green Beret?
No, I was not.
Out of 10,000 Green Berets, active and retired, there's only one. A retired Master Sergeant Gerald Wilsey of Syracuse, New York, who's willing to go before Congress.
Hey, we're out of time, Colonel. God right. bless. Bye-bye.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Is credit card debt making your life stressful? Do you avoid answering the phone in fear of another creditor calling? How would you like to reduce your credit card balances by thousands? Well, now you can. Safeguard Debt Management Services will connect you to a debt management specialist who will negotiate with your creditors to reduce your balances by thousands of dollars. You can consolidate all your high credit card balances into one monthly payment. Call now to speak to one of our specialists and learn how to get your very own customized debt management program. 800-794-4313. Enjoy the financial freedom you've dreamed of, knowing your debt is being handled by professionals. Call now to speak to one of our specialists. Regardless of your credit history, Safeguard can help. Get the answers you're looking for. The call is free, the consultation is free, and the information could change your life. Call now. 800-794-4313. That's 800-794-4313.
Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and now this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We really depend on you to help us and help us finance the shortwave and the internet and the satellite, the radio stations we're on. We've got about 60 outlets every week. you know, where we have at least some of the truth that people are not going to hear elsewhere. But quite frankly, we need your help, especially this time of year, as we're approaching the end, and we're still way behind for the year. So if you believe in what we're doing, and you can, if you can afford to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Now, we do carry Colonel Marvin's book, Expendable Elite. We carry the book about Lieutenant Commander Spitzer, who was murdered, assassinated. In fact, Colonel Marvin was actually asked to kill him, and he turned down the assignment. But the book is called Without Smoking Gun. Without Smoking Gun. So they're both available from Radio Liberty. To understand Vietnam, you need, of course, to get my four-tape set on Vietnam, the four-tape set on the men we left behind, and the four-tape set entitled One Man Returned. Of three four-tape sets give you tremendous insight into Vietnam and a war we never intended to win. How do you understand what's going on in Iraq? Well, of course, we have three pamphlets we put together entitled Foreknowledge 911. That's Foreknowledge 911. We recommend that for you. And then, of course, you can go up on the Internet and read my August, September, October, November, and December newsletters. They're up on the Internet. How do you understand communism? You have to understand that we finance communism since its inception so we could have an enemy, just exactly as all during the Vietnam War we funded the communists in Russia, who funded the North Vietnamese, who funded the Viet Cong, who were killing our boys. You need to get the pamphlet, The Communist-Capitalist Alignment. The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. It will give you tremendous insight into what's really going on. How do you understand the occult influence, the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world today? According to the occultists, that's what they tell you. There really is a spiritual hierarchy, elder brothers, the ancients of wisdom. You'll see them discussed on the Lucius Trust website. But more than that, of course, you can get our pamphlets, The Occult Hierarchy. We simply quote extensively from the occultists. And they will tell you exactly what they're doing. They're manipulating everything. They control both political parties and, of course, through their secret societies. They control the right, the left, the communists, the anti-communists, the Islamists, and the anti-Islamists. They control Saudi Arabia and the people who oppose Saudi Arabia. In my estimation, they control the government of Iran. In fact, it was the CIA that brought the current regime, the mullahs, to power back in 1979. We can thank Zygmunt Brzezinski for that. It was Brzezinski who was National Security Advisor to President Carter. And remember, of course, he's the founder of the Trilateral Commission. Brzezinski presided over Saddam Hussein coming to power in 1979, over the toppling of the Shah and bringing the mullahs to power in 1979, and over the effort to precipitate the Afghan War in 1979. And that, of course, then got the Soviets to invade Afghanistan and led to the 8-year war that we had there, which led to the formation of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, all under Zygmunt Brzezinski. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. We'd love to hear from you. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at Berkey Water.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our special guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We're going to be talking about his latest article on News with Views, and it's about Christmas. Have you noticed that we hear a lot about the holiday season these days, but we don't hear very much about Jesus Christ and Christmas? And of course, Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, but because of the fact that there is a conspiracy against God and a conspiracy against Christianity, and the organized forces of the occult dominate our media, why, you're not seeing hardly anything at all about the reason for Christmas, about the nativity scenes, about the birth of our Savior, and how this led to his crucifixion and death and resurrection. We just don't talk about that today because the media is controlled, our educational system is controlled, and certainly many of our major corporations are frankly anti-Christian, and they've taken Christianity. In fact, sometimes employees are told that they can't say Merry Christmas. You can only say Happy Holiday Season. Why? Because there's a conspiracy against God. Dennis, thank you very much for being with us today and for writing about what the Christmas season is really all about.
Thanks for having me. Yes, I thought it was important to do this now at the last week, just before Christmas, people get busy. So I thought that I'd do this one a couple of weeks ahead of time. And all of those points that you made are very, very important to this. The attitude of the Supreme Court, of course, years ago changed. It had been very friendly towards religion. No particular government exercise should prohibit the free exercise thereof, according to the First Amendment to the Constitution. But the positivists gained control of that court, and beginning in the early 60s, they outlawed school prayer and Bible reading, supposedly because it offended, in one case, Madeline Murray O'Hare's son, who later converted and became a Christian. But at the time, I remember, we used to have at the beginning of the school day a prayer each morning in homeroom, as it was called. And when the court ruling came down, they said, well, you know, we don't want to offend those who don't believe. And I thought to myself, well, how about the removal of this activity offending those who do want it? Apparently, you know, that didn't matter. It was the offense to the one individual that mattered, and the offense to the other 30 or 40 youngsters in the classroom was sort of irrelevant. It didn't make much sense to me at the time, and it still doesn't. But that's right. We've changed it, my mother says, from Christmas Day into Commerce Day. It seems like this materialistic acquisitiveness is ruling the roost here. It's all about buying and purchasing and so forth. And that, of course, evolves from the spirit of giving, but it's become very commercialistic. It's not the original intent of, you know, old Saint Nick and various other individuals historically. And the true meaning, as you said, of Christmas is has been lost, and it's really a sort of total effort on the part of the secularists, because on the one hand they'll object under separation of church and state to things like nativity scenes and things like that, but they have no problem come Halloween with you know, witches being portrayed, even though Wiccan is a religion, according to the Supreme Court. That religion, I guess, is okay, but Christianity is not.
Well, of course, that's exactly right, Dennis. I mean, they see nothing wrong with the occult. They see nothing wrong with the dark side. It is Christianity that these people hate. And until we understand that this has nothing to do with the law, it has everything to do with an agenda. And these things are happening. And, of course, where is the outcry from our churches? And our ministers just go right along with it. After all, Romans 13 tells us we should accept whatever the government does. After all, God has ordained it. And, well, maybe their God has, but I don't think the God I worship has. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who's taught at the university level and testified before Congress and has certainly worked as a researcher for many years. We're talking today about his recent article at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com on Christmas. And certainly, Dennis is pointing out that instead of really celebrating a Christmas now, we celebrate commerce. The ideas of celebrating the birth of our Lord seems to have receded. And certainly this is not the message we get from the media. This is not the message we get in the stores. This is certainly not even allowed to be discussed in our universities and our schools, other than to degrade Christianity, because there is a conspiracy against God. And until people understand that, and if you're offended by the word conspiracy, all you need to do is get a biblical concordance and look up the word conspiracy. God uses the word over and over and over again in the Holy Scriptures. Isn't it a shame that the Christians don't have the courage to use that word? So you go ahead and tell us about your article there, Dennis, and your thoughts on how we have forgotten what Christmas is really all about.
Okay. As I was saying before the break, it's really a total attack by the secularists. It not only involves Christmas, which I'm looking at at this time, but Easter, of course, is not turned into the sacrificial death and resurrection, but rather the Easter bunny, you know, and the little chocolate candies and so forth. Anything that they can do to remove Christianity or religion, for that matter, especially Orthodox religion, from the public square, they're really trying to do. And so that's why every Christmas I get out the bumper stickers that say, as you indicated before the break, Jesus is the reason for the season. There's another one we have that's called Wise Men Still Seek Him. And we also have these little buttons we put on our coat that says Happy Birthday, Jesus, you know, things like that, just to get it, the message back into the public square. I mean, after all of our dates that we have, including the legal documents, will say A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, and, you know, that's supposed to refer to 2,000 years ago, the birth of Christ as well. But what I'm doing here, this is really combining several things. I'm taking the opportunity of Christmas being the birth of Jesus as a baby.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment, Dennis, as we bring our other stations right back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and Dr. Cuddy is simply talking about how we need to get understanding that the reason for the season is Jesus Christ. And we need to get Christianity back into this time of year, but there is such a hatred on the part of the people who control the media and many of our major corporations and our educational system and certainly our courts of Jesus Christ and of God. They're not offended at all about, you know, having the holy days celebrated by the Muslims. They're not concerned about celebrating Halloween, which is the witches' occult holiday. It is simply anything having to do with Christianity that offends them and is under attack today. So pick up the story, Dennis.
Right. And as I said, it not only involves the Christianity, which is what I'm looking at especially here. They want to get the Ten Commandments out as well, the secularist, which is Christian, but it's also Jewish as well. I mean, in fact, you would say given to Moses, you could theoretically say it was very much a Jewish part of the biblical history, and the secularists want to remove them, the Ten Commandments, from courtrooms and schools and everything else. Anything that looks at Orthodox religion, a judgmental Savior, Jesus, God, they don't like that, because their God is basically themselves. They have become their own God, sort of like in the Garden of Eden, where the serpent is telling Eve, you know, if you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will become as God. And so he was right in the sense of she would consider herself, and anybody now who's a secularist, do your own thing, that sort of thing, look out for number one, as their own God. They will decide, and that's what they're teaching them in the schools. You know, you decide for yourself what's right or wrong for you based on the situation. You are the ultimate moral authority, in other words. And for 40 years, that's what the public schools have been teaching. For some reason, our religious leaders have let them get away with that. Even though it's not separation of church and state, government neutrality, that's anything but being neutral. When you have a different moral authority, you're teaching the youngsters, when the parents at home are teaching them that God, the God of the Bible, is the moral authority, and the schools say, no, no, it's you, Johnny. You are your own moral authority. You're your own, basically, they'll use the word God, but it really is. Johnny, you are your own God about what's right or wrong for you, based on the situation. And so what I'm doing here is trying to use this particular day, Christmas Day, the birth of the baby Jesus, to cover actually two or three subjects that interrelate. And one of them is when you look at the first part of the Gospel, and it's talking about the nativity scene and so forth, what you find is that in the Gospel of John, it says, according to John 1:14, He's not only Savior through His sacrificial death, and of course the resurrection later, the sacrificial death on the cross, but it says He is also the Word made flesh. The title of the article is, And the Word Was Made Flesh. And so when someone who claims to be a Christian, and as you said, a lot of Christians just are silent about what the meaning of this season is, what they are accepting, or they're supposed to accept, isn't just that there was someone 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, who died for their sins, but they're also, quote, accepting the Word of God. In other words, the teaching of Christ in the Bible. And so this is extremely important that they accept Jesus' teachings in the Bible, the Word of God. And it's really only logical, because salvation was only determined based upon the death of Christ. You know, He died on the cross for our sins, if that's all there was to it. He basically wasted his time going for 3 years around telling people, do these things, don't do these things, and so on. But he didn't waste his time, because the Word of God is something Christians are also supposed to accept, the admonitions to do certain things and not do certain things. And he spent 3 years doing this, rather than just saying, okay, I'm 30 years old, here I am, I'm your Savior, where's the cross, let's get this over with. He didn't do that. And so it's really important for Christians to understand that when they say they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are accepting the Word of God, the teachings of the Bible as well. And one of the things that I try to point out is often, a lot of preachers and Christians are sort of a la carte. You know, they have certain things in the Bible they want to emphasize, and others they really downplay. But all of the Bible, all biblical teachings are instructive in matters of truth and how we should behave, and so one cannot really ignore them. Unfortunately, some people do ignore them, and that's really rather dangerous, because there are examples that are given in the Bible about salvation and one being saved as involving a complete acceptance. A lot of preachers will say, well, you must understand that if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can't just say He's Lord of my private life but not my business life. They do that. But what they don't explain is how the salvation coming through accepting the Word of God, not only Jesus' death for our sins, but also the teachings of the Bible, is that there are very, very specific admonitions in there about if you do certain things, you go to hell forever. For example, 1 Corinthians 6:9 indicates that there's a list of things among which are fornication. It says those who do these things, including fornication, quote, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, end quote. Now, the immediate response to somebody who's not really thought about it is, oh, well, you know, he's just referring to those atheists. No, 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 he's not referring to these atheists and secularists, because those people haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior anyway. So regardless of whether they do, you know, a million good works and help little old ladies across the street or don't have sex outside of marriage and so forth, that's not going to save them anyway. So his message in the Bible, these teachings that he gives, are to people who think they're Christian or call themselves Christians, so that they will know this is the Word of God, and you have to accept all this. You can't just say, well, I'll do A, B, C, D, but, you know, this other thing, forget it. I'm going to do my own thing. What he's saying there is that really doesn't work, and I point out what I think is an excellent example of that in Matthew 25, verse 44 through 46, because many, many preachers and churches all over the country will talk about those passages where Jesus is saying there's a person in need, and when did we see you, when did we not see you hungry and naked, and so forth. And they're very familiar with that. But what they're not familiar, and what pastors and preachers really avoid almost like the plague, is the very last statement, and that's verse 46. Because what that says is Jesus is actually talking to people who believe they're Christians. They're his followers. They say, Lord, when did we see you? In other words, these people have been following him around for probably quite some time. And they're, you know, they're upset. You know, was it last Tuesday, Jesus? You know, were we over here and all of a sudden you were naked over here and we didn't see it? You know, we're very, very sorry we missed that. So it's very clear that these people are his followers. These are people who probably would say, yes, Jesus is our Lord. We're, you know, he's our Savior. We're followers of Christ. We are Christians. And so these are people he's talking to who really believe they're Christians. And what he says is that to these people, that when they haven't done for somebody in need, whether it's, you know, if they need clothing or food or whatever, when you haven't done that, when you have passed by someone who is an outstretched hand saying, please give me some bread, I'm starving, if you can literally do that, if one can pass by somebody in need like that, then you really have done that to him. Whatever you've done or not done for somebody in need, if you've forsaken somebody, if you haven't given them food, he's saying, this is like not giving me something. You're doing this to me if you do these to these people in need. And what verse 46 says, and what pastors and preachers avoid, you know, mentioning is, he tells these so-called Christians that they, quote, shall go into everlasting punishment, end quote. Now, that sounds very, very strong to be saying to people who really believe Jesus is their Lord. And it is strong. But the message is, if you are going to come before the public and say, yes, I am a Christian, and he says, the Word of God says you should do these things and not do these other things, if you can literally pass by somebody whose, you know, hand is outstretched saying, I need some bread, please, I'm starving, if you can just walk by that person, his message is you have not, quote, completely accepted him. And so these messages that he gives about this acceptance and people claiming to be Christians is extremely important. And as you were saying, Dr. Stan, Christians this time of year seem to not want to offend people. They'll, you know, say happy holidays or something. Well, remember what happened as he's being judged at the Sanhedrin. You know, Peter's denying him thrice, right? So if you have an occasion which you can speak out in terms of what Christmas is, what Christmas should be, that it's really the birthday of Christ, and that's what we should be celebrating, you need to be really careful, because, you know, come Judgment Day, he'll say, well, now, look, you had an opportunity here to speak up for me and what this really meant, and you spent all day, you know, trying to get as many gifts as you could, as many materialistic possessions, when really this is supposed to be about my birthday. How come you didn't do this? Were you denying me before these people? You could have said Merry Christmas. You didn't. You said Happy Holidays. Why were you silent? Why would you? In other words, you get the picture. I mean, it's not exactly the same as somebody saying, do you know Jesus? And a person saying, no, I don't know him. But it's a message which means that we literally have to exercise every day of our lives, not just on Sunday, a Christian attitude. Meaning, what does the Word of God say? What should we do? What things should we not do? Should we speak out on these issues, like what the real meaning of Christmas is? And if we don't do that, there are consequences to this. Now, I'm not God, and I can't say who's going to heaven or hell. Only God can do that, and he can judge the hearts and minds of men. But the message in these biblical passages is that this is very serious, and you really do need to accept the teachings of Christ. You really do need, at this time of the year, not to forsake him, not to forsake the real meaning, not to deny him, but speak up on his behalf. He works through us many, many times. And there's a particular saying that people will know about Christ through us, the people who claim to be Christians. And so if we don't speak up, who will?
And, of course, if we don't reflect the Christian message of benevolence and love and compassion for our fellow men, people are going to say, well, you know, that's what Christianity is about. It's about,
right.
about a lot of hypocrisy. And, of course, as I look and see what's going on today and hear about our Christian administration torturing people, where is the outcry from our Christian leaders saying,
right.
this is wrong? And it's deafening in its silence.
That's right.
Well, Dennis, go right ahead.
Okay, well, one particular example, and I want to be sure that people don't misunderstand this, but the reason I'm using this issue of abortion here is because at this time of the year, Jesus's birthday is celebrated as an infant, as a baby. And at the time, a couple of thousand years ago, of course, if Planned Parenthood had been around and they came across a woman who was pregnant, who had become pregnant and not married, they very well may have counseled her, in that case Mary, Jesus' mother, well, you really, you know, you should have an abortion. You should have an abortion here. So what's very important here is, and like I said, I don't want people to misunderstand, it's not the action to stop abortion. It's not the pro-life movement which saves anyone. But according to the biblical teaching, in terms of what I just said about Matthew and Jesus saying, those in need, you really need to help them, and if you can just walk away from this issue or this person in need of bread or whatever it is, then you really haven't completely accepted Christ. If that's his teaching, then although it's not absolutely necessary for salvation for somebody to, you know, do certain things which are pro-life, but the point is, if one is going to claim to be a Christian, one will do certain things in terms of helping those in need, and of course the preborn child is probably the most vulnerable among us. There's a slogan that the most dangerous place for a preborn child is the mother's womb. And so the question would come up, for example, is have you personally, I'm talking to any listeners in general, has one personally done something to stop abortion? As I said, your stopping or trying to stop abortion doesn't, quote, save you, but if you are a Christian, you will try to do that as well as, you know, feed somebody who's desperate for food, needs some bread, or they're starving, or help them in some way. And so we will be judged, as Matthew 25, verse 46, that last verse of Matthew 25 says. And we need to be very, very serious about this. And so it's a matter of personal responsibility, because each one of us is judged as an individual. It's not like, well, I'm an American, so I'm saved, or, you know, I'm from this particular church or denomination, so I'm saved. We're judged as individuals as to whether we have accepted Christ. And as I said, the first of the program, accepting Christ doesn't mean just his death 2,000 years ago, but he is also, quote, the Word of God, meaning biblical teaching, the teaching that he's presented to us over his the 3 years that he ministered to the people. And so if one is really a Christian, has completely accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, it seems impossible that we wouldn't try to defend the lives of these little ones, because they are made in the image and likeness of God. That's what Genesis 1:26 says. They are created. And as I indicated, at this time of the year, it seems appropriate because Mary had become pregnant prior to her marriage, and we know how that happened and why, and the Holy Spirit and so forth. And so the question is, if an individual does not fulfill this responsibility, there are responsibilities on nations as well. We know from the Bible that God actually does nations, judges nations. And, of course, the judgment has to be now. I mean, at the end of the world, you know, when each individual is judged, there's no more nation. So any judgment of a nation has to be now before the world ends. And so if God's going to judge a nation, what is he going to do to a nation that's allowed about 50 million babies to be brutally killed by abortion?
Hold that thought, Dennis. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and just a need to, Dr. Cuddy was talking about how God judges nations, and how is God going to judge the United States, not only for allowing 50 million of our own unborn children to be murdered, but because we're the major source of funding for abortion, and they call it family planning, but it's really efforts of population control throughout the world. I mean, we funded money to International Planned Parenthood that then was working in China for their one-child policy and brutally repressing the people over there, forcing them to only have one living child or to kill the girl child and then wait for the possibility of a boy child to come along. America is responsible, and the American citizens are responsible, and men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And we are giving, the United States is giving, almost $400 million a year to international family planning, which is largely abortion. So not only our own children are we killing, but we are killing children throughout the world, unborn children. And what are the American people, what are the American churches doing about it? Absolutely nothing. Well, I will give credit to the Catholic Church. At least there are a few Catholic organizations that are really working very, very hard on the abortion issue, both in this country and internationally. But we do not have anything really comparable within the Protestant Church. So go ahead and pick up the story there.
That's right. 50 million just in this country. That's, you know, hundreds of millions worldwide. International Planned Parenthood, you know, is a big part of that. And what they'll say is, they'll say something like, let's see, contraceptives, okay? And they'll say, well, we don't use it for abortion. What you have to understand, though, is if you have, let's say, the Agency for International Development, and there's some sort of federal law which says, well, you can't give money directly for abortions. What happens is they will wind up still giving money to International Planned Parenthood, but it'll say designated for contraceptives, right? Okay, well, when you do that, let's say International Planned Parenthood has, $100 million in a budget. Okay, all they do is shift the funds. You know, instead of allocating, say, $20 million for contraceptives to Africa, what they would do is say, okay, we'll take our $20 million, we'll shift that over to our abortion fund because we know we're getting $20 million from the Agency for International Development for contraceptives. So the thing is, even if it doesn't go directly from the tax coffers to a specific abortionist, it amounts to the same thing because all these international agencies like Planned Parenthood are doing is shifting funds. They're allowed to do that because instead of, you know, the $20 million for contraceptives, they don't need to do that because they're getting that from the feds. And so it's a game they play, and as you said, Dr. Stan, ultimately we're responsible for it. We know what's going on. Similarly, we know, for example, at this time of year, at Christmas time, there seems to be this obsession with buying materialistic items, things, and if you look at a lot of the things, you'll see they're made in China. And so once again, in terms of God's judgment on us as a nation or individuals, there's that statement, you know, what would Jesus say or what would Jesus do? My concern there is, you know, what is Jesus going to say about a nation who knows the brutality of the communist Chinese? I mean, we know for sure exactly what they do. They're a regime that's very evil. It persecutes, tortures, brutally kills, sometimes crucifies many Christians who don't bow to their will. They actually sell their gruesome body parts to rich Americans for implants and so forth and so on. So this is common knowledge that they've slaughtered not only their own people in terms of the starvation of the 1960s, but if you're a Christian there in a house church and you're exposed and you don't follow their rules and regulations, you know, you don't get, quote, approved by them, you can face a very, very serious time. You can be imprisoned and tortured and killed. Now, we know all that. That's common knowledge among the American people. And yet the American people at this time of the year go out and say, hey, look at that great VCR or whatever that I can get at a certain store, a cheap, you know, a store, and that's a great deal for me. And sure, it says it's from communist China, but so what? It's a great deal for me, and so I'll buy it. What we're really doing is promoting those people. We're promoting a regime that is totally evil, that it doesn't just kill individuals by indirection, starvation, but literally takes them because of their religious beliefs and says, because you won't bow to us, Christian, we're going to kill you. And we're promoting them. It's almost like if Hitler were alive today, we'd say, hey, you know, we'll build up his military. We'll build up his economy, even though he slaughtered millions of Christians and Jews. Yeah, let's have a good relationship with him. What is God's judgment going to be on our nation for doing that?
A very, very provocative question. People don't like to think about that sort of thing, that somehow maybe they are in part responsible for what's going on. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cuddy, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Dr. Cuddy, go right ahead.
Well, okay. Well, once again, the idea is, at this time of year, with the birth of Jesus, and he is the Word of God become flesh, made flesh, and in accepting him, I'm afraid a lot of people have the idea that when they say, I accept Jesus as Lord, they mean his sacrificial death, which is true. I mean, that is part of it, but it's only part of it. He is also the Word of God made flesh, and so when one says, I accept Christ, you're accepting the teachings of Christ, what he says to do and not do. And therefore, the specific passages in the Bible need to be looked at in that regard, which most preachers don't for some reason. I don't know why. But given the two examples we were mentioning before the break, if you look at something like Proverbs 6, chapter 6, verse 17, it's very clear there that this abortion, for example, is a promotion of this anti-biblical shedding of innocent blood of children. I mean, over and over again, you'll have several passages in the Bible where God says, I abhor the shedding of innocent blood. Okay, well, what is a preborn child, and what happens? I'm not going to go into all the gruesome details, but everybody knows what an abortion is. It literally is a horrible, horrible thing, which is shedding the innocent blood of these preborn babies. But that's not all. What we were just talking about immediately before the break is if you are supporting, knowledgeably supporting a regime which sheds the innocent blood of its own people, in this case Communist China, but they're not alone, and they take Christians, people of religion who don't bow to their will, and they shed their innocent blood, this is anathema to Christ. So if you're really a Christian, Jesus' message is, you won't do that. You will not support abortions. You will not support a regime like Communist China, which sheds innocent blood. You simply don't do that if you have, quote, completely accepted Christ as Lord. And I come back to that, Matthew 25, verse 46. This is extremely serious. It is not a minor detail that some preacher has overlooked. Jesus is literally talking to people there who believe they are saved. They believe they are followers of Christ. They are offended. They are hurt when he says they didn't, you know, he's telling them when you saw me naked and hungry, you didn't feed me. They're really upset at that. And Jesus is telling them, look, you know, whenever you've done this to any of these people, you know, a person with their hand out for food, somebody in desperate need, when you've done that to them, you've done it to me. And verse 46 says, by Christ himself, these people are going into everlasting punishment. Now, that's him. That's not my interpretation. That's not my feeling. You know, that's not my belief.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And we're really talking about what happened to Christmas in America. Why is Christmas simply a holiday, happy holiday, happy Honda Day? Are we going to buy a new Lexus for our wife for Christmas? Are we going to buy jewelry for our wife for Christmas? But what about the Christmas message? What about Jesus Christ? And you have to understand that there's an organized, orchestrated effort to take Christ out of Christmas. Because there really are people, large numbers of people in key positions and in government and in the media and in the financial services in our corporations, and in our schools who hate Christianity and everything it stands for, who hate the God of the Bible. And when you understand that, then so much of what's going on today really makes sense. If you look at it, you know, these things are just happening. No, they're not happening. They are planned. They're intended. And Dr. Cuddy has, of course, written an article about this whole idea of taking Christ out of Christmas. Well, our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Dr. Cuddy is describing his latest article, which you can find on the Internet at newswithviews.com. Go right ahead, Dennis.
Okay. As you've mentioned many times before, Dr. Stan, all of this is played out on a material or physical realm, but what's really going on is a spiritual battle. And so what's really going on with Christmas is they're converting it to something that's materialistically fun. In other words, let's have some fun. It's almost like the ancient pagans worshiping instead of the sun god. They want them today to worship the fun god. And so what they've done is all these presents and the little children, you know, and Santa Claus and the cookies and, ooh, look what I've been giving, you know, gimme, 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 right? That's the exact opposite. That's the battle. It's sort of like the serpent telling Eve, you know, you become as God. That's the battle. If they can take the attitude of a child and say Christmas is all about, how many, you know, toys you can get, how many things you can get, what makes you happy, what gives you fun, you know, if they can change the thinking, then what they've done is a big step on the way to winning this spiritual battle. They don't present it as that, but that's what's happening. Easter as well, as I said, the Easter Bunny, you know, it's fun. Let's still talk about Christ's death. You know, that's rather messy. You know, that's a downer. We don't want to talk about it. Much better to talk about having fun and wearing, you know, nice, get me a new outfit so I look good. You know, I want to look good and I want to have a chocolate Easter Bunny and I want a train set at Christmas and, you know, give me this, give me that, give me this. If they can get people and their consciousness to think in those terms, then that's a big weapon in the spiritual battle. One of the things that Satan really wants you to do is to not think he exists, right? He's just, you know, some, you know, funny little creature with his little red suit on, little red horns, and he's portrayed on TV commercials as whispering in somebody's ear. You know, it's all one big joke, right? But this is not. It's deadly serious. It's a deadly serious spiritual battle. And what they're trying to do here, the secularist and Satan, ultimately, spiritual battle, is to not have you think about that. They don't want you to think about what the real message of Christ is, what the real message of his birth is, what the real message of his life is, what the real message of his teaching is, what the real message of his death is, because that would focus people's attention on the spiritual battle, which is ultimately determinant of whether our souls are saved or lost, and is the most important thing above, you know, any material possession anybody can have anyway. So unfortunately, they've been rather successful at changing the consciousness of people towards this, you know, materialistic fun, you know, and let's be happy, and it's all about me, 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 me. Selfish, right? Which is the opposite. It's the opposite of Christ's message. Christ's message is don't be selfish, you know. Think of others rather than yourself. And a lot of people will do that. I mean, they will give a gift, you know, and they feel good about giving somebody a gift. But a big part of this is the material acquisition of what did I get? You know, how many things did I get and, you know, how good are they? And so they get you to thinking in those materialistic realm rather than the spiritual realm. Anything they can do to keep people from thinking about the spiritual realm and the battle which is literally raging for the souls of mankind. And so what I do next is go back to the origin of the country around the time of the Declaration of Independence and say at that time, at the founding of the country, unlike now, people actually knew about this spiritual battle, and that was part of the Declaration of Independence, where they would write in there that we have certain rights and that we're endowed by our Creator with these rights. See, there's two things there. There is a Creator, you know, we just didn't evolve. There's a Creator, and we have these rights which flow from this Creator, and one of them is the right to life. And so in terms of being created, that's in Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 5, it's obvious that we're created prior to birth. I mean, you have to be there in the womb before you're born, right? So creation has to come before birth. And so that literally, if people would think about that, undermines the underpinning of Roe v. Wade and these abortion decisions by the Supreme Court, which says you're really not a constitutionally protected, quote, person, quote, until birth, even, you know, at the last minute. That's why you have these partial birth abortions. But if people would think in those terms, they would understand that there's a U.S. Representative, John Bingham, and he's the one who drafted the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which the courts use in terms of protecting rights of persons. You know, they're always referring to the 14th Amendment, not only for due process, but the rights of persons. Well, if you actually look at the historical record, when Bingham was writing that, he was very clear about what he meant. He said, by this term person, I mean all human beings, and the rights are those sacred rights which our Declaration of Independence referred to. So he's literally indicating that this 14th Amendment to protect persons involves those created, which I said logically is obviously prior to birth. So it actually has to include the preborn child. This is the type of thing the secularists don't want you to think about, just like they don't want you to think about Christmas as being part of a spiritual, historical record that is extremely important to the saving of individual souls and to the judgment of nations. They don't want you to do that. If they can occupy you with a lot of fun, you know, let's put a lot of sports on and stupid soap operas and sitcoms and so forth, and get the people, you know, occupied with those things, then they won't reflect on the spiritual importance of the things that are transpiring as our founders did, such as in the Declaration of Independence, and what it really referred to. And so this is extremely important, and just as my own little effort here on abortion, I had a column in USA Today talking about how abortion could not only be prevented because you can limit court's jurisdiction. You can actually limit the lower federal courts from saying you don't have a right to limit abortion rights. But constitutionally, if you consider that persons are those in the womb prior to birth, which only makes sense according to the John Bingham and his definition of the 14th Amendment and what one should consider as persons, then you can literally go into a court which isn't filled with a bunch of positivists and say exactly what I said. Look, the meaning of the 14th Amendment that protects the rights of persons is those sacred rights in the Declaration of Independence that refers to all human beings created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore it includes the preborn child. Now, they may, you know, wrangle about when it begins, but my contention there is, well, obviously, you ask somebody what they are. Were you once an embryo? Sure. Were you once a blastocyst? Sure. Were you once a zygote? Sure. Were you ever an unfertilized ovum or sperm? No. Well, that tells you when life begins. It shows you the point at which you were not, and then the point at which you were. So obviously it goes right back to the beginning, and you can argue that through logically to a court based on creation, quote-unquote, in the Declaration of Independence, and this can be a way to actually constitutionally end abortion. And I even give here a little quote from the children's book, Horton Hears a Who, by Dr. Seuss. Horton's this little elephant, and the elephant's in there, and if any of your people have children or grandchildren have ever read them that, you remember, in Horton Hears a Who, the elephant, he says, quote, I'll just have to save him because, after all, a person's a person no matter how small, end quote. And that's absolutely right. We can't be saying, well, you know, if you're 4'2", you're a person, but if you're, you know, in the womb and 1'1", or whatever, you're not. We can't fall into that type of argument. It just doesn't make sense. And it also doesn't make sense to say what we say today. And that is a person constitutionally is only given protection at birth, because that's a variable point. I mean, some people are born, let's say, 6 months after conception. So logically, what are we supposed to say? If you're prematurely born at 6 months after conception, you're a constitutionally protected person, but at 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, larger, more viable, that you're not a person simply because of place of residence, it happens to be in the womb, that doesn't make any sense at all. So once we get the court to re-examine this, there's a firm basis for ending abortion. And so on December 25th, when we will celebrate Christ's birthday, I believe we should celebrate it specifically as the birth of Jesus Christ and everything that entails. And we should not be, as I said earlier, seem to be emphasizing it as Commerce Day, emphasizing this materialistic acquisitiveness. And when we celebrate the birth of Jesus as a baby, just as at that time we would have protected Mary from pressure by the government and its Planned Parenthood agents to say, you really should have abortion, Mary, because, you know, you're pregnant, not married, we should resolve to protect the lives of all babies, including preborn babies. This is a fundamental point that I think Jesus is talking about when he says those in need, we are compelled to help them, especially the most vulnerable among us. And so, I mean, just if you think logically about it, especially if you're a liberal, you're supposed to be defending those in need. Well, that logically would be preborn children, or it would be people in China who are, you know, slave laborers or something. You should actually be working very hard against this. And you're supposed to be against child abuse. Well, what is abortion? Isn't abortion the deadliest form of child abuse? So there are many, many reasons for us to be against these practices. It comes down to the judgment of God is going to be upon us as individuals. If we buy these Chinese goods or don't help to save these preborn children's lives, and it's going to be upon us as a nation as well. And I'm afraid a lot of people at this time of the year have been losing that message, that this is the Word of God become flesh. That's what it says right there, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh, so we're supposed to pay attention to the Word, what we're supposed to do, the things we're supposed to do and not to, and we've missed that meaning. And we've succumbed. A lot of people have succumbed to this battle plan of Satan to shift our thinking and consciousness in towards this material realm. As Christ said, you know, it's not the material things that will last. It's those things, you know, hope, love, charity, the things which aren't material, the spiritual things which are going to last forever. This world's going to pass away, and all the things therein, all the material acquisitions we can get at Christmas or whenever, they're going to pass away. All the money you can gain is going to pass away. You know, you can't take it with you. So judgment is going to be based spiritually on the things that we have done and the things we have not done. And it's not just, you know, a nice little sermon in the church. As I've tried to emphasize, this is literally critical to salvation. If some pastor or preacher ignores it, that, you know, that's too bad. Christ, God's not going to ignore it. That's what Jesus' message is in Matthew 25:46. Jesus isn't going to ignore this. This is absolutely critical. So if one is going to claim to be a Christian, the acceptance must be complete. It must be not just of his sacrificial death and resurrection, but it must be of the Word of God and all of the Word of God, not a la carte. And if you don't, Jesus says, not Dr. Cuddy's interpretation, Jesus says you're going into everlasting punishment. That's his word. That's not my word. So this is extremely serious. It's an extremely serious battle we're engaged in. And Christmas is an extremely important time in this battle because, in one way, this is the most intense effort to change the consciousness of people who claim to be Christians away from the spiritual battle and the meaning of God's word toward this materialistic fun and, you know, having a good time and getting us to emphasize that. There's an old statement that whatever you spend most of your time doing, I think there's actually a biblical passage, that becomes your God. I forget the exact passage there, but in the Bible, I believe there's a statement that if you spend a great deal of time on a certain thing, that literally becomes your God. And so you need to be really, really careful, especially at this time of the year, that your focus is on the birth of Christ and what that actually means rather than materialism.
I certainly agree with what you're saying, and anybody who looks around today, looks around our stores, watches television, looks at the movies that are coming out, of course, none of them are talking about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything has shifted, and they've done this very gradually over a period of many years, a little bit by little bit, hoping we wouldn't even realize what had happened until one day we woke up with a Christless Christmas, a Christless Christmas, a Christmas with no mention, no acknowledgement of what our Savior was all about, because there are people out there who hate Christianity, who hate the God of the Bible, who hate Judaism for that matter, and of course there is an organized effort through our schools, through our courts, through our corporations, through our media, to destroy any remembrance of what Christmas was all about. Christmas was a wonderful time. I remember growing up and having that warm feeling, you know, that see, here was a time of sharing, of love, of compassion, and remembering from whence our freedoms come. Our freedoms come from our Lord. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And, of course, the corollary to that would be where the Spirit of the Lord has been removed, why liberty will soon be lost. And it's happening. And where is the outcry from the average individual? And we talk a lot about giving, and there's certainly nothing wrong with giving. We talk about collecting turkeys for the people who, you know, need to have, you know, food for a Christmas celebration. And there are people out there, and I think it's a wonderful thing to do, but why do we take any mention of Christmas and of Jesus Christ out of the giving? And this is exactly what is happening. So, Dennis, do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, yes. Focus on the reason for the season, which is Christ, and be alert for example, at this time of the year, I think there's actually a movie that's come out that sort of glorifies the occult. I forget the exact name of it. It's supposed to be a very popular movie. And so what you need to watch for in terms of the spiritual battle is, if you're grounded in the biblical truth, the Word of God, which is what Christ is, and the Word was made flesh, then you will see through those glasses things that come up. You will actually look at a TV show or a movie or something and say, now wait a minute, you know, is that okay by the Word of God? What would Jesus say about that? Not so much what would Jesus do. Jesus is God, he can do anything. But what would Jesus say about that? If you go to buy a product from communist China, say, well, now what would Jesus say about that? If you keep doing that sort of thing, if you look through your actions in those terms, then you'll be well-grounded, and especially this time of the year, promote Christmas, promote the birth of Christ as such, rather than just a time of materialism.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty. Well, we have 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Of course, what most people have forgotten is that it was the American State Department that brought communism to China. And you go back and you can read the McCarran Committee report, which is reproduced in part in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. And the American State Department was instrumental in bringing communism to China. The book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, points out how the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundations were using their great wealth to influence public opinion in favor of Chairman Mao and the communist element of the revolution over there. In a similar manner, it was the American State Department that brought Fidel Castro to power in Cuba, knowing full well that he was a communist. And we've kept him in power ever since then, all the time trying to convince the American people that he's our enemy and we're trying to topple him, and how the CIA was going to put powder in Fidel Castro's beard. It would make, pardon me, in his shoes. It would make his beard fall out. But we could just never... find anybody who would kill him for us. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Falderall. David Rockefeller's daughter is a very close friend and a great admirer of Fidel Castro, and if you doubt that, you need to get David Rockefeller's memoirs, which we carry here at Radio Liberty. You need to get the information and understand that most of what we've been led to believe just is not true. And unfortunately, there are people in very powerful positions here in the United States who hate America, who hate Christianity, who support tyrants throughout the world, and of course they're doing everything they can to push for worldwide abortion, family planning, and certainly population control. Dennis, you have about a minute and a half to wrap up the program.
Okay, just picking up on what you said, there's a book out by Stan Evans looking back at McCarthy, and people are saying, well, golly, you know, if we knew that there were communists in the government, how come we didn't support McCarthy, because he was really on the trail? But as you were pointing out, you know, it's deliberate. It's, you know, it's that George Marshall was riding his horse and couldn't get the message about Pearl Harbor. Later on, you know, George Marshall gets the firing pins or whatever out of the nationalist Chinese gun so that the communists take over. And lo and behold, my goodness, he's on the board of the Institute for Pacific Relations, you know, which is filled with communists and so on. So a lot of these people who say, well, you know, it's a really patriotic sort of fellow, No. There's people put in place by Harry Truman, you know, who was, as Churchill said, Truman carried around the Parliament of Man and the Federation of the World by Loxley Hall, and Dean Rusk and Lincoln Bloomfield in his report, if the communist dynamic was greatly abated, the West would lose whatever incentive it has for world government. All of that.
Dennis, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sam.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, the basic message I hope that you got today was the fact that really there is a conspiracy against Christianity. There is a conspiracy against Christmas, and they're doing a good job to take the Christ out of Christmas, and we can't let that happen. And we have to point out what's going on and hope that people will begin to realize that what is happening is not accidental. It's been planned over a period of many years. Each year they just take a little bit more of the Christ out of Christmas until eventually there's no Christ left in Christmas. And yet, Christianity is the reason for the season. What a wonderful time to remember the birth of our Savior, because that's what it's really all about. And of course, the only hope for the world is in Christianity. And as of course we study the satanic forces, the Luciferian forces, the secret societies that are here today and have been around for 5,000 years, but this would be an impossible job to talk and read and study about this and try to educate people unless we knew that Christianity is real. The message of Christianity is real. And we know that because the people on the other side hate Christianity so much. And there really are secret societies, and there really are people who hate Christianity, and there really is a conspiracy to take the Christ out of Christmas. And we can't let that happen. Well, we do hope that many of you, of course, will want to contact Radio Liberty and help us as we reach out 5 hours every day on different stations and different networks, trying to educate people about the fact that there is a spiritual battle going on. There's a spiritual battle, and of course there really are secret societies. They've been around for thousands of years, and whether we're talking about Opus Dei, which is a Catholic secret society, or Masonry, which is a Protestant secret society, but of course neither one of them has anything to do with Christianity. Basically, they worship another god, and you need to get some of our material to understand that. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret. You need to get our new 4-tape set, or 4-CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret, which will take you into Rhonda Byrne's book. It sold millions of copies, and her DVD has sold millions of copies, and she's been featured several times on Oprah Winfrey, who will tell you that The Secret will help you to accomplish your life's goal. And certainly Larry King, Jim Carrey, Ellen DeGeneres have all pushed The Secret. Well, you need to understand what The Secret is, and they will tell you it is the path to wealth and fortune. And we will tell you it is the path to eternal damnation. Yes, you may obtain wealth and fortune in this life, but not in the next life. You need to get the videos we offer. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. That's they sold their souls for rock and roll. Because many of the leading musicians of today have accomplished what they have not because of their talent, because they have sold their souls to the devil. The devil is not imaginary. He does not wear red tights and carry a pitchfork. He is a very real force in the world today, and millions of people worship him. And until you understand that he offers you wealth and fortune and fame and prosperity, but at the cost of your eternal soul, and that many people have actually taken up his offer and are working for his goal. What is his goal? A one world government, a one world religion with the destruction of Christianity, and a one world leader, who of course will be the Antichrist. This is not imaginary, it's real. Well, this plan has been out there for 5,000 years. It's coming to fulfillment as we speak. And what an exciting time to live. What an exciting time to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WARP. Because America is under attack today. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. May the Lord be with you.